Steve, do you think you could say this line here? This line here.
An old school wrestling...
No, that's not an OSW review.
OSW review. An old school wrestling podcast that won't kidnap you and kill you.
Just emphasize won't, so it makes it sound like a competition will kill you.
OSW review. An old school wrestling podcast that won't kidnap and kill you.
Baltimore's own football legend, NFL Hall of Famer, Art O'Donnell.
Who's the fellow with the American flag? What's the girl over there screaming at? What's he going to do, throw him out of the ring? Randy, is this one of the wrestlers? He looks like a businessman. Is this the way he's going to wrestle with his clothes on? This guy Double J's a cutie.
Let's take a look at the final four right now.
He may be in the final phase.
That's Shawn Michaels.
Is he another wrestler? The referee's stealing the belt. How much does that guy weigh? How much does this fella weigh? How much does he weigh? How much does he weigh, Tatanka? How much does this fella weigh? How much does this guy weigh? Did you two guys enjoy doing this?
Rockabilly. Awesome, I'm got you singing.
I know, you're a fucker.
What a great song.
Took years for that to just pour into my head. Like.
Alright, so do you want to get on the road?
Let's get cracking.
Hello and welcome to OSW Review, the old school wrestling video podcast. Filmed in glorious Grapplevision and encoded with blast processing, we chronologically critique wrestling storylines pay-per-view by pay-per-view. Joined by the... Hey, is this one of the wrestlers? He looks like a man in a business suit. V1.
Alright, Jay, what's the story?
And is this the way he's gonna wrestle? With no clothes on? Myself, Jay Hunter. It's a special bonus episode of OSW Review. It's the first two episodes of Total Divas. Calvin Harris, play us in.
Rockabilly!
Once again, Noggers. Happy days are here again. Never mind, Steve. Back in the saddle once again, but only two lone riders. Where's OC, you might ask? Ask me where Steve.
Oh, sorry. Where's Steve?
Funny you should ask. He's jettisoned to South Africa.
Very nice.
Probably asking about breakfast rolls. And potatoes.
Potato cake.
So, unless you're with us on our Facebook group, OSWReview.com, or following me on Twitter, at OSWReview, you might be wondering, what's happening with OSWReview? Well, when we started the vodcast 2 years ago, my aim was just finish the Hulkamania era, because it seemed very far away at the time. I thought one of us would quit, or we'd stop doing it.
Yeah, or, you know, we'd have, like, 20 fans or something, you know?
And what's wrong with 20 fans? But some 30 episodes later, we've accomplished that. So now we'll start season 2, if you will.
I like it, Jay.
Where we'll take certain storylines from any time period in wrestling and review them. So first on the list is the David Arquette trilogy of shows. So he got his movie, then the Thunder where he wins the belt, and then the pay-per-view where he loses it. But since OC is away, I thought we'd squeeze in a special bonus episode.
Squeezy.
Yes. Squeezing in a special bonus episode of Total Divas. Actually, since this ties in, I thought before we start, we get everyone up to speed about the WWE Network.
Work away. It's not out.
And it's not coming out.
It's not going to come out. Next.
What about now? It's time to rock with the biggity buck bumble. What about now? It's time to rock with the biggity buck bumble. Bump to the bump to the bump to the bass. Bump to the bump to the bumble. Bump to the bump to the bump to the bass. Bump to the bump to the bump.
The WWE Network. Dateline, September 5th, 2011. WWE announces that the WWE Network would be launched the following year, 2012, after Mania. It would be WWE's own premium channel like HBO or Showtime. So, although weekly staples like Raw, SmackDown, etc. would stay on their respective TV channels, that's WWE's main source of income, the WWE Network would showcase their vast tape library. They have well over like 100,000 hours at their disposal, including WCW, ECW, World Class, all of that, and brand new TV shows like Legends House, which is WWE's version of Big Brother.
I want to see that so much. It'd be fucking amazing.
So you get retired wrestlers like Sheik and... Oh, you wouldn't get Sheik. Would you?
Take my money, Vince.
If you actually
take
got
it now.
Sheik in it.
It'd be incredible, yeah. Wouldn't it?
Besides all that, you get every pay-per-view except for WrestleMania, all for $15 a month. Sound good?
Yes. I think that's a fair price. I think it's so fair that I'd even think about it. Like,
you might begin to think about it.
Yes. It's a start.
It was supposed to launch after WrestleMania 28, a ludicrous 6 months after announcing it. So inevitably, it was delayed and delayed and then put on ice indefinitely. How come? There's two gigantic reasons. WWE didn't, and still don't, have the infrastructure and the right people to run a successful network. Like, they're masters of shooting live wrestling, but not running a TV station. The more damning factor is that interest in the WWE Network isn't anywhere close to the 1 million subscribers they'd need to make the channel financially viable. Like, you and me, and probably you listening to this right now, would jump at the chance. Well, they might think about jumping at the chance.
They might think about starting to jump.
But most of the WWE universe absolutely don't care at the prospect of old Nitros and Maple Leaf Garden shows and all that. So, thankfully, Triple H doesn't seem to have the business ego of Vince. He'd be an absolute fool to put the company in peril going full throttle with this lame duck. So what could WWE do? They could piggyback on pre-existing successful cable channels in a kind of timeshare deal, or they could even just buy a block of airtime, like, you know, Adult Swim is on the Cartoon Network.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Or even easier, they could strike an exclusive, separate WWE section with streaming services like Netflix. That way there wouldn't be pressure to add new content, and they wouldn't have to have any infrastructure. Bloody send them the tape. So how does this tie in with Total Divas?
Wasn't Total Divas meant to be on the network? Wasn't it meant to be like one of the flagship shows?
Exactly.
Bam. Says it all, doesn't it?
Yeah. Vince selling it to E! Means that this channel isn't happening anytime soon. Premiering Sunday, July 28, 2013. Let's see what they missed out on.
We are WWE Divas. We are Broadway with body slams. In the Divas division, there's like a hierarchy. You have the people who are at the top who are like the face of the company.
The Bella Twins!
Then you have like the mid-card who are not quite there yet.
My goal is to be the best diva ever.
And then you have veterans.
Being a diva is in my blood.
But, oh.
Newbies! Newbies aren't divas yet, but they're trying to be.
And make sure not to show us up.
I definitely think Eva Marie is trouble. I see it in her eyes.
It's Broadway with body slams, apparently. It's Total Divas, a behind-the-scenes look at the lives, trials...
Hold on. Broadway infers that they're acting.
Well, yeah. Like, porn is acting.
Yeah, but this is not meant to be acting. This is meant to be reality.
Oh, right. Oh, no, wrestling is Broadway and body slams. It's Total Divas, a behind-the-scenes look at the lives, trials, and tribulations of seven WWE divas. Our reality shows... Like, does anyone think reality shows are real?
Yes. A lot of people think they're 100% real. But I would like to imagine that the vast majority realise that they're either 100% scripted, or if they're not 100% scripted, then they're put into scripted situations to see how they will naturally react.
So, it's kayfabe, right?
Yes. Basically.
So, it's widely accepted that reality shows is a genre of TV show, since it's obviously quite scripted and heavily edited to tell the most interesting stories, and this show is no different. The smack talk and energy comes across as really quite contrived. Like, these women aren't actresses. Otherwise, no. You wouldn't be in the WWE.
God, no, they're not actresses.
But much like pro wrestling, you need suspension of disbelief, and that's what we'll do. Total Divas falls in line with tons of expected reality show tropes, being heavily edited with tons of short segments with an emotional point to get across. You got the typical stock dance music underneath, always cutting to the camera confessions, giving instant thoughts on what just happened, and showing snippets of upcoming strife as we cut the ad break.
Yeah.
So it's like, keep your attention. It really is ADHD TV.
It really is. Are there any segments that would be longer than like 90 seconds in this show? You know, it's just quick fire, cut to the next scene, to reactions, bam, let's go again.
We open to an introduction to the WWE, Broadway and Body Slams, and its chief protagonists, the Bellas. Nikki's the one with the McGumbos. And Brie, who cast themselves as glamorous heels. I was trying to think of a mnemonic to remember their names.
Go on.
Nikki's got knockers, Brian's with Brie.
Very good, very good.
Then we have the wide-eyed, inexperienced baby faces, the Funkadactyls, which is Trinity and Ariane, which is Naomi from NXT Season 3, and Cameron from Tough Enough, most famous for spouting to Austin that her favourite match ever was...
Melina against Alicia Fox?
Yeah.
My fucking goodness. Spicy, spicy, Austin's reaction. God. It's money.
What's your favourite match?
My favourite match was with Melina and Alicia Fox.
Who?
Melina and Alicia Fox.
Out of all the matches in the history of this business, that was your favorite?
Like I said, this is something that I'm new to.
Any other favorite matches that I should know about?
Sorry, I can't name any.
Austin was great.
You get 10-minute Austin promo at the end of every show. Him chewing out the three worst wrestlers there.
Some clown.
It was fantastic. They get over Ariane's arse and her flying bum tackle. And then we see respectable veteran Natty Neidhart of the Hart Dynasty. Completing the main cast of the varied 7 newcomers, we get the noobs, who've only been wrestling for a month. Eva Marie, that's the tall, beautiful, dyed red hair, who's trouble, as Brie says.
She's gorgeous there.
Yeah. And Jojo, who's short, frizzy black hair, who's nice and unassuming.
Yeah, she's cute. She seems like a nice girl.
So she got no gimmick.
Yes, business is going to ruin this poor girl. She's going to be destroyed by it.
The first episode is about the week leading up to and culminating at WrestleMania 29. The format is such that it constantly jumps between the women and their storylines. So I think the best way to review this is that we'll introduce the show and then take it one storyline at a time.
Yeah.
And then up to the finish.
No problem.
So we start off, we see the girls training. The Bellas look competent enough in the ring. The Funkadactyls look inexperienced and they just horseplay around. And Natty looks like a crisp professional. We see that Trinity is dating Jimmy Uso.
Sorry, it's John Uso.
John's his real name? It's Jimmy and Jay Uso?
Yeah, but on this show they kind of break the fourth wall and they call him John.
Okay.
But why would someone whose name is John get a tattoo that says Jimmy?
Maybe he's a hick. With both names? Jimmy John.
Like a Polynesian hick. Nice.
So we see Trinity is dating Jimmy Uso, a.k.a. John, and Ariane is dating some guy named Vincent. Not Virgil. And 6 minutes in, we get to see...
John Cena!
He's dating Nikki Bella. So, the one with the, How could you even begin to explain, in kayfabe, how and why Superface John Cena is with the conceited heel Nikki Bella?
In kayfabe?
Kayfabe.
Holy shit. Tits.
What if John Cena's trying to turn her face and she's trying to turn him heel?
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. Like, she's so evil that she wants to go in there and turn the fucking Superman, the biggest hero that the kids in wrestling have had since Hulk Hogan in 30 years and turn him evil just so she can get fancy cars and nice houses. That's a good storyline.
Mm, I should send that in.
Yeah, that's not bad. Season 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, network.
Coming 2000XX. So Nikki's storyline is immediately laid out. She desperately wants to marry John Cena, who's reluctant to go further as he's recently divorced. We see them awkwardly explain and reenact the notebook for the cameras while fishing. Fucking John Cena, he is a big dude.
He's monstrous.
I know he's big in WWE, but just when you put him in a normal setting,
he's a fucking giant. Yeah, like this guy is ginormous.
Brie breaks kayfabe by telling us she's dating real name Bryan Danielson. They see that Cena bought Nikki a Range Rover. Appraising its value, the girls say, it's red, and rub the dashboard. And they cluck about Cena's motivation for the expensive present. The Bellas are putting on their heel-pampered celebrity gimmicks, but you can tell they've actually got egos. Thought it was hilarious that they refer to themselves as veterans.
That's ridiculous, yeah.
Despite their pettiness and unprofessionalism, you know? It's like William Regal's a veteran.
Yes.
You're just some knob. They're total divas.
Oh, God.
And the Bellas, they're polar opposite to Natty Neidhart.
She came off really nice. Like, she came across as the only person that you'd actually like to meet outside of the wrestling world from this show.
Yeah, I found her to be the most compelling. Like, she's passionate and she's professional and hardworking and the only one of the bunch to have all of those attributes.
Mm. You know, and plus there's like a 5-second clip of her training. I think you mentioned it earlier in the show where she's like breaking down moves and it's like, man, she's chain wrestling. She looks fucking good. You know what I mean?
Male good.
Yes. You look like you've trained with the hearts. Like... But it's disgraceful that WWE have never shown it.
Just be like a gay girl.
Yeah, yeah.
She's also extremely pragmatic. She just lays it out there. WrestleMania's in a week. There's 8 to 10 men's matches on the WrestleMania card, but only one women's match, so every diva's competing for that spot. A week before WrestleMania, standard last-minute booking for WrestleMania. Yeah. They're on their card. Natty's told that she's not going to be in the match while the other four are. And it was pretty compelling to see her react and frankly admit to being bitter at her standing in WWE despite her talent.
Yeah.
She has the most interesting story. I think, like, she's the talented older veteran who's passed over by both returning names, the Bellas, and the Fresh Faces, the Funkadactyls, both who can't wrestle. And now, instead of competing, she'll have to babysit her future competition, who will inevitably pass her over.
Yeah.
Sooner than later.
The red-haired one already has, basically.
Yeah, I thought this is the best thing she's ever done.
Yeah, well, yeah.
On TV.
It was excellent, yeah.
Apart from the farting gimmick, obviously.
Oh. Actually, believe it or not, it was probably the only time in the entire episode that she kind of came across a bit heelish, I think. But she was well within her rights to, because, you know, she's by miles the best female wrestler on the roster. And it's a bit of a slap in the face to not be on Mania. Has she ever been on Mania? Has she ever wrestled on a Mania?
No. Divas Battle Royale WrestleMania 25?
Doesn't count.
You know. That's all bollocks anyway. You know, Natty never would have been on a match at Mania. She wasn't on TV prior. She was fucking...
That's true.
Well, she was Callie's manager and you're on, like, Superstars or main event. That doesn't, you know.
Yeah.
So, and the 8-man tag was announced a month before Mania, so...
It was backstage with Callie. It was an amazing promo of
Like, go in the guy's locker room and find out who the secret of
is. I'm
I love it.
So we get to see the two noobs. So we got JoJo, that's the small one, and then Eva Marie. She had dark red hair. And she's asked to dye her hair blonde. We find out that WWE divas want their own hair colour to stand out. And Natty's annoyed because she's also blonde. But she looks nothing like Eva Marie.
I know, yeah.
And the Bellas are happy because she apparently looks like Brie, but not Nikki.
But surely she'd look more like Nikki than Brie because of the fake tits.
Yeah, okay.
Which,
Nikki has a storyline this week, so Brie needs one.
Okay.
She reluctantly agrees to go blonde, but last minute, she decides she'd be far happier with electric red and does that instead. Manders' great editing, as the camera confession shots didn't spoil it because she had black hair in the camera confessions, and then as soon as she got it done on the TV show, it changed to red hair.
Ah, very good, very good. She's awesome with the red hair.
Yeah, it looks great.
She's absolutely gorgeous.
I think she'd be gorgeous with any colour hair, though.
That's true.
So now she has to go back to Talent Relations and show them her new hair colour. Thankfully, Talent Relations VP Jane Geddes likes it, and that's enough to let her blatant refusal slide.
Unbelievable.
Would they not be like, get the fuck out?
Sacked now. I was like, I'm sorry, there are
precedents.
Millions of hot Latina women out there. I can get any hot Mexican board and throw blonde hair on her. Like, this is probably the most difficult part in the show to watch and not be like, oh, God, this is bullshit. This is the fakest thing ever.
All right, let's check in with the Bellas. Having lunch with Brie, do the Bellas have to order the same food as well? Because they're twins, you have to eat the same food. Anyway, Nikki ham-fistedly pines over wanting to marry John Cena and resolves to just lay it out. She does just that over dinner, but he leaves it on an ambiguous positive note. That's Nikki sorted for the episode, but what about Brie? Her storyline is she's immediately intimidated by Eva's beauty and constantly lets the noobs know who's the veteran via catty remarks and making them hold her drinks during a quick photo op.
Wouldn't you do that anyway? Like, if you needed to go take a picture with Bleach, I'd gladly hold your drink for you for like a minute. You know what I mean? Like, it's not really a power play. It's like, it's a favour.
With the Funkadactyls, we see Ariane's boyfriend Vince has arrived. She's nervous because it'll be the first time he sees her at her craft.
I'm a little nervous for him to come see me just because he's never seen me do my craft.
Closer to WrestleMania, hilariously, Ariane sobbingly reveals that Brodus Clay barked at her, saying that she sucks, making her cry, brah.
Making girls cry, brah.
Apparently, he actually did. And Ariane's boyfriend did kick up a fuss backstage. But Total Divas were filming these divas. Why didn't they tape that? That would be great to see.
Unless they're so bad that they don't want any footage of them wrestling on the show.
He doesn't talk to you like that. He says respect. What is his ass? Call his ass out right now. I'm gonna go to the locker room right now. F*** his ass up right now.
Her boyfriend gets hot and it's like, oh, you wanna fight, brah? It's like, but it's like, can you get Brodus? Bring Brodus to me and I'll fight. What the fuck is that?
You tell Brodus that I'll meet him in the playground after school. Yeah. Hey, right, okay. There's no way someone who's furious can be that wooden and terrible at being furious. Even if the incident happened, I don't believe this is that.
Would he not be like, but Ariane, you do suck. You should work at it.
That's another thing.
Hone your craft.
I was like...
That seems to be her gimmick, really. That she just can't keep things together.
Yeah.
Trinity's job, her partner, is to keep her in check and make sure that she doesn't get them both fired.
Although, in all fairness, she does come off a bit of a dry shite in this.
Trinity, later on, she brazenly admits Ariane's got deep-rooted problems and needs a therapist. And that they just leave it at that. What? That is such an offensive thing to say.
I absolutely wouldn't say that. She's a bit of a moan.
And gonna be working in wrestling, the most cutthroat business out there.
Yeah.
Gross and fucking skin, like, you know.
Big time.
Finally, it's WrestleMania time. It's very cool getting to see backstage at a WWE event, like the seamstresses and wrestlers walking about. In the skybox, Natty goes to find out why the girls aren't in their allotted spot. Apparently, Triple H and Lesnar ran long, so the match... it actually was. So the women's match was cut entirely. They make it seem like it was Punk and Taker ran long on the show. Which is very odd. Well, it did go a little long, but not as long as Lesnar and Triple H. And they were supposed to go on after Lesnar.
That much stank.
It could have done with 10-minute trim, actually. Obviously, WWE know that they're filming Total Divas.
Yes, absolutely.
So, do you think they intentionally only cut it at the last minute to get the reactions? It seems quite a big emotional cliffhanger to leave the first episode on.
Yeah.
It's quite a perfect ending.
I'm going to say no. I really don't think... So reality TV is totally scripted, so... That's a great question. It's a great question.
Whatever happens, what we saw on screen was not their initial reaction. It's like if you told them at 3 p.m. and this is 9 p.m.
Yeah.
It's like, act like you've just heard. Because they were like... they were like bummed out, but they had dealt with it.
Yeah.
You know?
I suppose they were panicking because their gear wasn't finished, like, minutes before they were meant to go on at Mania.
Mm-hmm. It's in WWE's best interest that everyone has clothes. It's a bollock storyline.
Absolutely.
Like, delay my entrance, I've got to finish my gear.
I mean...
Absolutely not.
Wouldn't the seamstress be immediately sacked if she didn't have her gear finished for the biggest day of the year?
I'm sure you'd have it finalised. You'd probably have to have it finalised at least a week beforehand or something.
Yeah.
So the entire Divas here, they're all quite disappointed and devastated. And Natty's annoyed as well as that because she apparently put together the match earlier that day, which sounds like bollocks. WrestleMania, put together a match earlier that day.
It was a mixed tag match. It wasn't a Divas match. Yeah, it would be the fucking road agents and the wrestlers themselves. Bollocks. And she's not like the agent for the Divas, right?
No.
Okay, grand.
The Bellas keep it together, but Ariane cries, but it's difficult to feel sorry for them. Alright, just all right, Ariane. Oh, I don't get my wrestling match at WrestleMania. Wrestling God Daniel Bryan and Sheamus got bumped at WrestleMania 28. And Lance Storm got bumped for the fucking Miller Lite Catfight Girls.
Do you remember that?
At WrestleMania 19.
And the year after Sheamus and Daniel Bryan got bumped, they jerked the curtain in 18 seconds. You know, you've got to take what you're given and...
Yeah, cry me a river.
Yeah.
It's quite cathartic ending. Thanks, Tobias. Despite all the posturing, all of them were denied a Mania payday.
Yeah.
So that's it. The show ends with a sizzle reel teasing what's in store for the rest of the season, including more strife, wearing fake implants, and, yeah, Natty in lingerie.
She looked whopper there. Bring up the whole Ugly Duckling storyline.
Quack, quack, Natty. Fuck. Natty and lingerie, hell yes. But then it's like listening to Stephanie McMahon. Oh, no, no.
I ran into my dad and he just bit my head off. I mean, the makeover segment was a disaster and he was embarrassed, you know, by what happened with Daniel Bryan. And you know how vindictive he can be. And I'm trying to just focus on business and what this means.
All right, calm down.
Horrendous porn level acting here.
Yeah, like Ariane's acting was better than yours. What's going on with Stephanie's hair? She's getting the Jushin Liger onion hair going. It's fucking disgusting. Makes her look so old. That it for the first episode?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Oh, a bit of ska, actually. Mm. Maria Kanellis, remember her?
I do indeed, yeah.
Yeah, she's in Ring of Honor now. And she disliked the Bellas, as she claims that they nixed her return for WrestleMania 29, which would have been this show.
I don't believe that, because didn't WWE send out the feelers to... not the literal feelers. The
the
fimbly bimblies. To all of the ex-divas that they were offering jobs for them to come back? And weren't the Bellas literally the only two to take the offer?
They all said.
All of them. They basically says, I spent the last 4 years trying to get out of the fucking business. I'm not going to come back to it.
Because they could earn the same amount of money running in a fitness gym.
Or they can earn the same amount of money taking pictures with Mark fans.
And did you know what $75 will get you? You can get in bed with Sunny, get a picture taken, and, you know, rub your chubby against her. Classy Sunny.
She'd have to do a lot of work to get a chubby out of me at this stage. She's rough. Look, she's dog rough at the minute.
And beyond. Kings, Infinity being episode 2. This episode chronicles a few weeks of Monday Night Raw post-WrestleMania. There's only 3 stories of the show this time. Redhead noob diva Eva Marie wants to move up the ziggurat lickety-split.
This episode opens up with Eva Marie and JoJo at Raw, at the kind of sound mixing area, and they're watching them come out dancing. Eva Marie is watching it just going, I can do that. That's easy.
She literally admits that she doesn't want to train, she just wants to be on the main roster.
As a newbie, I don't want to be at training camp for 6 months, 7 months to a year. Being a valet for, say, Fandango, that opens the door for you. That gets you on the main roster. That's where I want to be. This is my in, because once he has me as his partner, he won't want anyone else.
Oh my god.
Fuck right up. That is heel heat for any wrestling fan.
It's the wrong heat as well. That's just go away heat.
She chats to Natty. And then Fandango. Man, Johnny Curtis looks huge in his tank top as well, doesn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think he's the first guy that they haven't used his real name and they just call him Fandango. I love it.
There's kayfabe breaking, but there's kayfabe enforcing as well.
It's a fine mix.
And WWE talent relations Mark Carano and Jane Geddes have a chat to Eva Marie and she convinces them to use her on an upcoming Raw to be Fandango's dancer. Okay, so the upcoming scene all takes place in 2 minutes. Back at Eva Marie's and JoJo's hotel room, it's revealed that she has a boyfriend, Jonathan, aka Mini Ryback.
Yeah.
He flew in to see her. They explain their first date with the significance of donuts. And he just flat out proposes to her in the bedroom.
Yeah, so I'd imagine when young girls dream about when they're getting asked to be married, this is not how it is. In a dingy hotel with JoJo beside them and a box of donuts.
The acting here is horrendous. It's obvious that it is staged. Like, you know, if you ask her, will you marry me? They go, ah! You know?
Yeah.
They wouldn't go, oh. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Only if you're asked to repeat it over and over until something was acceptable, would you be like, oh.
Yeah.
She agrees. Tells JoJo an end scene. This is like the most ham-fisted plot device.
JoJo,
I've ever seen.
She is not impressed at all. You know, if you've got a couple and the girl is pregnant and she, you know, kind of breaks the news to the fella and she's like, oh, by the way, I'm having a baby. And he's like, oh, that's bloody wonderful. There was no hiding how JoJo actually felt. Like, she obviously didn't give a shite or was kind of bitter towards it. And she was like, oh, I'm so happy for you. Oh, girls, stop lying.
Now, I wonder how girls have girl mates. Because you hate each other.
They constantly lie to each other. Girl mates are not the same as, yeah, you know, kind of best mates that blokes, yeah, are.
Despite her being now engaged, she still wants to get in good with Fandango, so she doesn't wear her ring out, and JoJo's not impressed. She is classy. What an awesome heel.
Yeah, yeah. She could end up being amazing.
It's then that Eva Marie drops the bombshell. She can't dance. So obviously enough, she spends the week in Tampa dining and clubbing with Fandango. Help me, TV show. I've tried nothing at all, and I'm all out of ideas. How about learning how to ballroom dance?
I mean, even just go onto YouTube or something, or, you know, go and find a dance class, or...
Why couldn't she just, like, YouTube Fandango entrance? Because that's
and
all...
And learn it.
Yeah, that's all you're going to be doing.
You only have to do the little side-to-side dance. Yeah. And a twirl.
That was better than what she did.
It actually was better what she did. Actually, we'll get to there, yeah, when we get there.
Storyline 2 is Ariane. Mrs. Melina versus Alicia Fox. After the Funkadactyls had a close call with their outfits at Mania, they outsourced getting new clothes. Unfortunately, the lime green attire is rather ugly and ill-fitting. Trinity complains,
all my cookie is hanging out.
What's a cookie?
Oh, shit, I was going to ask you.
Bollocks.
I imagine it's her bat cave.
Her meat basket.
Because they had to blur when she
What was that all about? Was it just like major Kanto going on or were bleeding
like a bat? time runs out and they go back to WWE seamstress Sandra, where Ariane pigheadedly refuses to admit any wrongdoing while asking for help.
I would have slapped the shit out of her if she talked to me the way she talked to your one.
Yep. After her disingenuous, sarcastic apology, Sandra still refuses to help her. Good.
Fucking right, yeah.
So they just end up wearing an old orange outfit instead.
Which was also hot.
Yeah, I thought it looked great.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, they gloss over the 8-man tag they did have on Raw in lieu of a Mania spot. Because they had it the next night on Raw.
Mm.
You would have got... Oh, it's always really sad to see the next night on Raw.
When they wear their big fancy gear?
Yeah. Like Sheamus and Daniel Bryan had theirs.
Yeah.
Shit.
That was really sad.
Trinity's role is becoming clear. As the more professional of the two, she has to babysit Ariane and make sure she doesn't wind up costing both of them their jobs.
Mm.
Oh, she's just getting more annoying as we go on. Portrayed as a ghetto fabulous idiot who's emotionally ignorant, like a spoiled brat who doesn't deserve or appreciate her
fortune. That's exactly spot on. She's a fucking child and she doesn't deserve her place at all. I mean... After Tough Enough, she should have, like, big fucking black X next to her name. Like, never in the wrestling business again. That's not racist. Most markers are black.
That's racist. Pensist. Her being so aggravated. My great reality show character.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, she's also more important than Natty, who doesn't have a storyline this week.
Mm.
We get a quick shot of Road Dogg brazenly laying out a match with the Bellas.
Was it me, or did he look like he was terrified of the camera? He kept giving it quick looks, and he looked awkward and weird.
Haven't you been in front of a camera for like 20 years?
Yeah, and isn't your gimmick that you're good at speaking?
Maybe he's used to just doing it once and they're like asking him to do it 20 times.
Yeah, or probably.
Or maybe he was like, I'm actually in creative. This is not how we make matches.
Yeah.
I don't list 3 moves to the Bellas and say, go out, do your thing for 6 minutes.
I want you to do your twin magic. I can't do that anymore.
The Bellas and their boyfriends, Daniel Bryan and John Cena, combined their storylines this week. Bryan and Brie vacation in Cena's house for a week before Cena and Nikki do the same. So you see, they live polar opposite lifestyles. They're the original odd couples. Flying to Tampa, Florida via private airline, riding in expensive cars and living in Cena's opulent mansion clearly impresses Brie. It's like, Cena's house, obviously, holy shit.
Cost amazing, yeah.
I know. But it always strikes me with like reality shows and MTV Cribs and with Here Again, how celebrities live in showrooms, like... massive, spotless, empty estates.
Yeah.
That look like... It's like no one's ever lived in it.
Yeah.
That all of the surfaces are empty.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of... So, it's a bit sad. Back in rainy Aberdeen, Washington, we see Brian's humble house, which is his family house growing up, and wanted to be Brian and Bree's future home. It's quaint and in a rural town, complete with no television. The exact opposite of Cena's place.
To me, like, Daniel Bryan's house was... Well, it's fine. You know, it's bigger than most houses you're going to get in Ireland. And, yeah, it was grand. It was a bit old person looking, you know, with the little plates and the trinkets and shit. I'd be getting rid of them. But, yeah, Cena's house is amazing.
Mm. It's such a disparity between the two.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit. Yeah, it was very impressive. Cena's got a water slide in his indoor pool. It's like, damn, that's awesome.
It's amazing.
They have a little fun chopping some wood. Do you think it was really awkward seeing Cena and Bryan take their tops off in like an everyday situation?
It was very strange.
As opposed to them being mostly nude in the ring.
It's actually, Cena just looked like Cena from the wrestling. He's wearing his jorts. He's his top off. That's John Cena.
Whereas Cena plows through chopping wood, Bryan takes his sweet time. That was quite funny.
Yeah. Quite fake as well, but you know.
Beside the lake, and tons of duck shit, apparently, Brie confides in Nikki that she doesn't want to live there. Will we see where that goes? She doesn't want to live in this small,
I mean,
town, rainy...
She's a fully grown woman. What's she doing not talking to her boyfriend about it? You know what I mean? If it's a problem, you're just going to bitch to your fucking sister and let it fester? Or
oh, thank God, that's it. That's what I wanted to do.
You know, you know what I mean? It's ridiculous.
Well, we can bitch for another six episodes.
Yeah, yeah. Then I give him the ultimatum, because that's exactly what's going to happen.
I just thought it's interesting that this show is PG. I got to go back and check and make sure. Despite things like Nikki Bella bringing attention to her breasts, and she's given out about...
And even her fanny with the axe.
Yeah, she's bending over and touching herself suggestively, yeah. You know?
It's great, by the way. Yeah, I'm all for it. I endorse this product.
It's showing far more cleavage than on WWE programs.
Absolutely.
But WWE is PG, but it leads me to believe that WWE is actually, like, U or G, you know, general audience.
Yeah.
You know? If this is what you can get away with PG.
Could be.
Because they do break out a few swears as well, and they just beep the swears, you know? Mm. But it's like she's taking down her straps of her dress to show you that Eva Marie's been doing that. It's like, this is great.
Yeah.
Why can't you do this on a second
pushing her tit up and everything. Yeah, yeah, I love it.
God damn it.
Yeah.
Time. All right, it's a main event. time for our final part. Eva Marie has her audition with Fandango. She still hasn't given up the ghost. She's still living this lie. The Funkadactyls know she can't dance, and they have a laugh and can't wait to see her fail. Yeah. I thought that was really bitchy, but really hilarious. I'd do the exact same thing.
It'd be amazing to
You're
watch
gonna
this.
You're going to dance?
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to watch.
Was it the locker room sellout, I do believe the yes. term is.
Rehearsing her entrance in front of Talent Relations and the Total Divas cast, she does a great job at moving like an alien, awkwardly learning to walk for the first time.
She's like no charisma, she's no facials, she doesn't even look at anybody, she's just in her own little world moving awkwardly. Bloody awful. Sack her. Don't, she's gorgeous. I don't know. I got the impression that she was holding back a lot to make it seem worse.
Yeah.
You know, like, any hot girl who goes clubbing, like, 5 days a week, she's going to at least have some form of rhythm, you know, as opposed to, la, 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 she's like, la, 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 actually shuffling from foot to foot so awkwardly.
Talent relations guy Mark confronts her, and she finally admits her lie as Jane Geddes storms off. We're brought straight up to a meeting with Eva and Stephanie McMahon. Steph coldly tells her that she embarrassed herself, the company, and don't fuck up again or you're out. I thought it was actually much better than Stephanie's general acting job.
Yeah,
her
yeah.
The speech was probably 6 minutes long and they chopped it down to 12 seconds.
Unless, of course, this is real. And she was just pissed off, and she's like, do it again and you're sacked. But I don't see how she embarrassed the company because it didn't air live or anything, you know?
Eva, she had nothing to offer to make right or make amends. It's just, oh, sorry. I don't know. It's just, she had nothing in response to make things right.
Sorry.
And that was that, the end of the episode. Cue the sizzle reel for next week.
Life is like a hurricane here in Duckburg. Race cars, lasers, aeroplanes. It's a duck blur. Might solve a mystery or rewrite history. DuckTales, woo! Every day they're out there making DuckTales, woo! Tales of daring do.
What did you think?
Overall, I actually thought it was surprisingly good.
Like, I know.
I hate reality shows. I don't watch reality shows.
Do you watch any?
No, nothing. And no, I thought it was really good. I'm actually, like, I was most interested in Natty Neidhart and seeing what she's got to say. And I'm interested in how they'll integrate it into Monday Night Raw beyond having a backstage bitching session or, oh God, you remember Eva Marie being on the Miz TV talk show? Where she slaps Jerry Lawler.
You know, Jerry, I don't like how you're looking at me. My name is Eva Marie, and I'm here to make a name for myself.
I'm a bad girl. I'm here to get
bad. It's horrendous.
It's horrific stuff, isn't it? It's just so awful. It's
maybe the worst acting I've ever seen in wrestling.
It goes to show you, like, how good the people are who edit this show. That they can edit in a storyline and edit out the absolute worst of acting that you're going to see from, like, wrestlers are bad actors, but these are bad wrestling actors. They're just bad.
Because if anyone is to become the undefined champion of divas, it is me.
Maybe, like, the editing's actually functional, then. It serves a purpose to edit out all the drivel and just say, hey, this is how we produce the show.
Mm.
I suppose they just chop, chop, chop. Like, that's how they...
Chop.
Like, that's how they made the NWO videos were like that with the quick cuts, is because they had to cut out so much shit. Because they just had them cut a promo for an hour, and it was terrible, so they just cut it down and... Yeah, that was great seeing backstage WWE, and it was cool to see John Cena and Daniel Bryan as well. Two biggest faces in wrestling.
Yeah.
And see how they'll factor in. I thought it was very easy watch. Like, very simple storylines, you get your instant reactions, and it's only 43 minutes long.
It's like yourself, I found this, like, a very easy watch. I wasn't angry with myself for wasting the time watching it. Eva Marie will do well from the show. I think she's beautiful, so that's obviously going to help, but at least she'll be coming in with a character. You know, it's not great, she's a terrible actress, but it's better than just being, here's a hot chick, you know, it's like, here's a hot bitch, you know. Natty came off great, like you said, who loves the business, which is very important, because none of the other women come across like they love the business, and I think that's very important. She is a professional. And the Bellas, they're not terrible actors, but it's weird, like, they come across as heels in most segments, except for the confessional part where they come across like the real people and not the characters that they play. So in the space of 40 minutes, the Bellas come across like crazy different. Worth a watch.
So yes, it's contrived and a bit trashy, and some of the acting situations are very phony, but honestly, like, it is a new angle to view WWE.
It's better than SmackDown.
Yes. So it's number two.
Yeah.
The ratings of it are really good. It actually, the viewership increased week one to week two.
I'm actually not that shocked, because I thought week one was fairly good. Like, was it 1.3 the first week, up to like a 1.6 or something?
1.5.
That's not bad, like, you know? E's highest show was like The Kardashians, which is about 2 million.
That's
like,
fantastic.
It's not that far off their biggest fucking show. Like,
that said, you gotta wait until it's much farther in to see if people actually stick around. So thumbs up.
I'm telling you, Sheriff, there's got to be a connection.
Look, I'm not going through this again. I'm not.
We have two missing teenagers, a murder in the same county. Oh, and what about the guy hanging around Missy Pratt's house?
The missing teenagers have been gone for less than 24 hours. They're probably sleeping it off somewhere. They'll come staggering back. Hell, they're probably around here somewhere.
Have any of these witnesses reported what make of vehicle the suspect left in?
I don't think anyone was paying attention. Too many other things to look at around here.
I've been wanting to do that for so long.
Mother!
About that move. You've been holding out on me.
I wrestled a little bit in college.
Yeah, I guess I've never seen it done on a woman before.
You can ask my ex-wife about that sometime.
Jeez.
So that brings this bonus episode number 31 to a close. Episode 32, we're back on track. Mr. OSC will join us to kick off the David Arquette trilogy with WCW's Ready to Rumble film. It's gonna be awesome balls. So it's a goodbye from everyone.
Hey, Kaboo.
And myself, Jay Hunter. And remember, a winner is you. I would have thought it would have been really cool if they did Total Divas in the 90s. Like, imagine seeing Coked Up Sonny and Bitch Queen Sable and getting to see Trish and Lita and the rest, you know? I thought that would have been amazing.
That would have been awesome. Although you would have had to put up with, like, Stacy Carter and...
I should be a great heel. Fucking idiot heel. That
big dirty heel.
That killed their Sky Sports deal. Like,
hate her for that. And, you know, you'd have to put up with, like, Moolah and Mae Young and things like that, you know? So it would be the good and the bad.
I think it'll make a great show.
And the ugly.
I'm telling you, Sheriff, there's got to be a connection.
Look, I'm not going through this again. I'm not.
We have two missing teenagers, a murder in the same county. Oh, and what about the guy hanging around Missy Pratt's house?
The missing teenagers have been gone for less than 24 hours. They're probably sleeping it off somewhere. They'll come staggering back. Hell, they're probably around here somewhere.
Have any of these witnesses reported what make of vehicle the suspect left in?
I don't think anyone was paying attention. Too many other things to look at around here.
I've been wanting to do that for so long.
Mother!
About that move. You've been holding out on me.
I wrestled a little bit in college.
Yeah, I guess I never seen it done on a woman before.
You can ask my ex-wife about that sometime.
Jeez.
So that brings this bonus episode number 31 to a close. Episode 32, we're back on track. Mr. OSC will join us to kick off the David Arquette trilogy with WCW's Ready to Rumble film. It's gonna be awesome balls. So it's a goodbye from everyone.
Hey, Kaboo.
And myself, Jay Hunter. And remember, a winner is you. I would have thought it would have been really cool if they did Total Divas in the 90s. Like, imagine seeing Coked Up Sonny and Bitch Queen Sable and getting to see Trish and Lita and the rest, you know? I thought that would have been amazing.
That would have been awesome. Although you would have had to put up with, like, Stacy Carter and...
I should be a great heel. Fucking idiot heel. That
big dirty heel.
That killed their Sky Sports deal. Like,
hate her for that. And, you know, you'd have to put up with, like, Moolah and Mae Young and things like that, you know? So it would be the good and the bad.
I think it'll make a great show.
And the ugly.